flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bill Barnwell at 11 from ESPN, he wrote something yesterday sort of describing and looking back on where Jaden Daniels' rookie season stacks up against the great rookie quarterback seasons and really just the great rookie seasons for any position. Clinton Portis will be with us at 11:35. Ben Standig, our Washington Commanders insider, is with us right now at Ben Standig on Twitter. Ben writes prolifically for The Athletic. I would suggest you subscribe. It costs hardly anything, a couple bucks a month. It's totally worth it. And Ben's got a podcast called Standig Room Only. Ben wrote a really good story on Terry McLaurin this week. I would urge all of you to read it. What a person Terry McLaurin is. We all know that. Excellent story, though, Ben, on Terry, for sure. All right, let's get to it. First of all, what is your guess on how Washington will replace Sam Cosmi?
Well, you know, they're obviously keeping it close to the vest. We got a little bit of, I wouldn't say mixed messaging, but Dan Quinn earlier in the week said, hey, we're definitely considering the idea of possibly moving Andrew Wiley to guard, which is where he played early in his career with the Chiefs, and therefore putting Cornelius Lucas at tackle. I guess I should say he didn't say those words specifically, but he said the idea of putting your best five on the field is definitely something they're considering. That is kind of what that would mean. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday was asked about Trent Scott and just sort of answered it directly about how well that Trent Scott had played. I kind of feel like that's going to be the path. If this was like week six and they lost Sam Cosmi, then maybe what I did, the first one about putting your best guys out there is the way to go. But it, you know, if you move Wiley, now you're affecting two positions. So my guess is they would go with Trent Scott at this point, but
that is your guess. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's my guess. I mean, like I said, it just feels like, you know, I mean, Wiley hasn't played that spot in
right
a few years, so it's not like it's fresh. I mean, Trent Scott's played more recently than he has. But it's one of those deals where it's not like what's the best, like, you know, this option gives you this and this option gives you that. I don't think either one of these are particularly great options. I mean, the issue with, give Trent Scott all the credit for what he did the other day. He wasn't going up against Jalen Carter, arguably the best defensive tackle in the league right now. So it's a tough matchup. They're going to have to find ways to, you know, for whoever is there to probably, you know, provide some double team help, whether that's a tight end or the running back or what have you. But that's my guess. But it's not a great option. And if you tell me that the Eagles, you know, offense or Eagles defense is able to slow Washington down to some degree, I would have to imagine it's because Jalen Carter, you know, just was this pure havoc out there. Where, you know, that I think that's definitely a possibility.
Any other injuries? Wagner ankle, you know, is everything a go for him as it was last week?
I was talking to him for a minute, and the injury report had just come out yesterday with him on it. I was like, hey, anything to worry about? He just kind of scoffed and walked off. So no, I think he's good. Nothing there. It looks like, again, they're going to be pretty healthy, all things considered for this time of year.
All right, you're there every day. This has become very clear, and they've talked about it, but you've lived the experience of being on the beat for now the entire season and preseason and off season. What can you say, and what have you observed in terms of this belief, this brotherhood, this swag, this confidence that they're not just here to, you know, for grins and giggles as a surprise team, but they're here to win it?
Yeah, we've talked before in general about, you know, the idea of tanking, that we see prevalent in the NBA world, and is that even conceivable in the NFL world? And my answer is always, and again, just for those who don't understand, tanking is not the players or coaches laying down. It's, you know, right, sort of, can the team put out a poor enough roster to thus they're just not really competing? And in the NFL, it's always kind of like, well, it's kind of impossible to tank because every team is going to have viable players. You can go back to look at even the worst teams here for the last, 20 odd years, right? Just even last year's team, you still had Terry McLaurin. You still had the defensive tackles, right? I mean, it's not like you still had Sam Cosby. It's not like you had lemmings out there, right? So, okay, so that said, they did change personnel a lot, as we know, and I just still, they maintain they weren't really trying to do this, but Bobby Wagner is not going to play a year of football thinking this is just for,
right,
blanks and giggles.
Development of the quarterback.
right. Same with, Zach Ertz, and same with all these guys. So, to that end, they have those pieces, but the extra secret sauce beyond Jaden Daniels, performing at incredibly high levels, especially for a rookie quarterback we've never seen before. I really do think this sort of camaraderie, this brotherhood thing, has really been what's taken them a long way. Dan Quinn has come in, and whatever the controversies or whatever the debates were about whether he was the right coach or not, the thing that seemed to me to make a lot of sense was he was a guy that was going to reestablish the standard here, reestablish a baseline of what it meant to play here. And I know people were saying, it sounds like just like Ron Rivera. With no disrespect to Ron, that always at times felt performative. This felt authentic. And I wrote a story earlier in the year talking to players, like, what is it about Dan Quinn that makes him, such a connector? And to a man, they all just talked about, he comes to them and talks, not just, hey, you got to do better, stopping the run, or, you're blocking. It was like, hey, how's life? How is it going? And the way he talks to them, they all feel the authentic, genuine connection, and that he wants these guys. In the story I wrote the other, you mentioned, but about McLaurin, I had a line in there, something about that McLaurin liked the atmosphere in the locker room because it's not just the coaches trying to turn you into these, tackling machine cyborgs. He wants to develop the person. He wants you to know the other guy in the locker room. They shifted the whole locker room seating organization. It used to be basically positions grouped together. Now it's, a quarterback next to a safety, next to a tight end or what have you. So you get to know everybody on the team in a personal way, more than you did before. And all of these things may sound hokey and cliche or whatever, but I really do think it has worked, and that led to this belief. And again, when you have guys like Dan Quinn preaching this, like Joe Witt preaching this, like Bobby Wagner and others, I mean, they have just maintained this belief all year. I mean, that's why, to me, it's just an incredible, they haven't had, if you throw out week one against Tampa, they really haven't had one clunker as a team. Even that first Philly game, the defense was wiped out in the first, half to three quarters, right? I mean, the offense took some minutes, but it wasn't like they didn't show. How many times have any team, even the best of teams, have games where they clearly weren't in mentally in this one? Has not happened all year. So I think it really is a testament to this internal belief that they have. And, this last thing I'll say on this is, I have always said that for all of Dan Snyder's sins in terms of the football team, the one that probably I thought got overlooked the most with how he gutted any sense of what a standard was here. I know that he took over a team that was still, at that point, a few years removed from the Super Bowl teams, but you still had the Brian Mitchells and Daryl Greens and guys who understood what it took. And he replaced them all with hired mercenaries who only were there more or less, not saying for the money, but they weren't there for camaraderie. They weren't there because they wanted to be the burgundy and gold. And it completely evaporated. And really, you know, I mean, that's why I give Dan Quinn a lot of credit. He's now made it such that here's the deal. If you want to be here, this is the deal. And clearly these guys are adhering to that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I had a thought when you just mentioned Rivera, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but everybody, I think, knows who Greg Zuerlein is and his significance to Jaden Daniels being here. Last year, the end of the 23 season, it was actually the third to last game of the year, Christmas Eve, 2023. They're playing the Jets. Jacoby Brissett comes off the bench, lights it up. Washington roars back from a big early deficit to take the lead, and it looks like they're on their way to win a game that you just don't want them to win because it will mean several spots, or at least a few spots in draft order. But the Jets drive into field goal range at the very end over the last few seconds, and Greg Zuerlein drills a 54-yard field goal. Actually, I went and watched it the other day. It just barely got inside the left upright. And that's the difference between, you know, Washington having the 2 pick versus having the 4 pick and not having a chance at Jaden Daniels. But the other thing that occurred to me is, you, for whatever reason, and I don't think we've talked about this, last year, after that game, they still had 2 more games. Now, they were against much better teams, the 49ers and the Cowboys. But Jacoby Brissett was going to start the next game against the 49ers. And at that point, it had probably become pretty clear that you didn't want to lose the number 2 spot. You wanted to be in the top 2 spots. And mysteriously, they came up with a hamstring injury for Brissett, and Howell ended up starting against San Francisco and Dallas to finish up the season, and they got absolutely blasted in the final 2 games. Now, does Brissett win one of those 2 games? Probably not. Do they have a better chance to pull an upset? 100% in that moment. Do you think Josh Harris and company stepped in and said, please don't win these last 2 games? Start Sam Howell, not Jacoby Brissett?
While that certainly would be an option and a very, very logical one for the owner to take, I kind of remember thinking, I had the impression that Jacoby Brissett was making a business decision and being like, hey, I'm about
so
to be
a
free agent.
It? Okay.
I think so. That was the impression I got. I mean, you know, let's remember, like, you know, the season prior, right, it was going to be Taylor Heinicke starting week 18, even though we're like, wait a minute, why on earth would you not start Sam Howell now? When and so I just feel like Ron's, he always took sort of the short-term, we got to win today view. So I, you know, and I would also bet in his optimistic ways that he wasn't viewing it as like, hey, you know, he I think he's the type that views it as, hey, what do we need to do to win, not
okay.
It would be cool to get the
draft
pick.
I mean, I remember it, Brissett was scheduled to start, and then early in that week, he had a hamstring injury, and then all of a sudden, he wasn't starting. You know, and part of it, too, was that Sam Howell had just taken a beating, you know, and they just didn't want to, it was almost mercy at that point for Sam Howell to start Jacoby Brissett, and yet they ended up starting Sam Howell either in either case, and it worked out for the best for the franchise, clearly. All right, Sunday. Anything from the second game in particular that stands out as significant for Sunday in Philadelphia? I'm talking about the game a month ago.
Well, I mean, you know, the obvious, they won because, you know, again, you got to have the confidence, you know, to believe that you can get it done. Having, you know, they haven't lost, obviously, two games to any one team this year, so that, you know, they avoided that. They know they can get this done, even in a game that they committed five turnovers. So I think there's that as sort of a basic level. But I mean, I think, you know, we all know that there's like this somewhat of an asterisk in that game because Jalen Hurts was hurt, and you know, Kenny Pickett actually played fine, but you know, he doesn't have the same mobility that Hurts does. His absence allowed Washington to have a better shot at slowing down Saquon Barkley, who what did he have, like 100-odd yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, and then was held to around like 60 the rest of the game.
Right.
So, you know, I think when you don't have Hurts' ability to run and you don't have to worry about that, similar to how Washington is, you know, when you're defending Jaden Daniels in this offense, you don't have the run option, it's a different deal. But I also think another key I thought was Quincy. Chauncey Gardner Johnson.
Yeah,
getting ejected in the game.
Right.
You know, at the moment it was kind of like, all right, this guy's a bit of a hothead. He's out. It is what it is. But you know, I do think that in talking to some people this week up on the Philly way, that like, you know, that was a much bigger deal than maybe we all let on. And you know, Jaden throws 5 touchdown passes, 3 in the fourth quarter, and you know. Because I remember myself even saying, hey, Jalen Hurts wasn't playing defense. You know, can't just blame it on that. But, you know, he did. I think his absence meant something as well. He's obviously a veteran back there, a physical presence and all that. So I do think that's something to consider. On the other hand, John Allen wasn't playing in that game. He's, of course, now back out there now and had a pretty good game, I thought, against Detroit. Washington still has not been able to stop the run. But, you know, at a minimum, he's a better option than, say, Fedarian Mathis or, you know, someone like that, Carl Davis or whomever in that game, and having him out there now to, you know, give you another talent right there in the interior against Saquon Barkley, which is, you know, more or less feels like the key to this game. You know, I mean, if you can slow down Barkley enough, you know, avoid those monster runs, which he seemingly gets every week, you know, that to me sounds like, you know, Washington's, like, best path to winning. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game. I don't even know what the over under is, but you know, it feels like it's going to be more of a grinded out NFC style back in the day where like maybe, you know, first team with 24 wins versus like what we saw last week.
36-33.
You know, yeah. So I think those are a couple of things. You know, look, okay. Jalen Carter was a monster in the first game. The second game, they got a better handle on him a bit, but, you know, that was with Sam Cosmi. So that's the deal. And, you know, it's hard to say. I can't even say what was the game that showed everybody that Jaden is a cyborg. But, you know, that was just another one where we were like, you got to be kidding me. How does this kid keep doing this? But, you know, that's been
the 4th and 11 run, you know, late third quarter. That's the play of the game, because if they don't get that, the game's – they're down 13. Philadelphia's got field position. So that was an insane play. All right, I got 20 seconds. Prediction.
Well, I've been wrong 2 weeks in a row here on this. Not that I thought they didn't have a chance, but, you know, just kind of felt it was just going to come to an end. I can't shake the feeling that just from a pure momentum, confidence standpoint, that they're going to somehow get this done. And it keeps reminding me of the Georgetown-Villanova game back in the day, another Philly-DC matchup where on paper, this should not be, you know, it should be pretty obvious who's going to win. But the division rival, you're not afraid, you're not intimidated, and you're the team who's on the bigger emotional confidence role. So I'll go Washington 24-23.
Heading to New Orleans. Good job. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Bill Barnwell dove deep, as he always does, and he figured out whether or not Jaden's season is the greatest season in the history of any rookie to play in the NFL. We'll talk to him next.